I'd like to call to order the Board of Education meeting for December 10th, 2018. This is a special meeting. It's a work session, and let's all stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call?
Oh, roll call, that's me. Mr. Dosen?
Yes.
Mrs. Kramer?
Yes.
Mr. Peterson?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes. Item two, work session, so we need to appoint a treasurer pro tem for December 10th, 2018. Mr. Hall is not available for today. May I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Who are you appointing?
I'd like to appoint, Ms. Mack.
Thanks.
Roll call.
Mr. Dosen?
Yes.
Mrs. Kramer?
Yes.
Mr. Peterson?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes. Item C, we have our central school discussion. This is a work session, so we will not have a public forum or public discussion or be taking questions at this time. That time will be on December 17th if there's input, but this is the board's discussion on this, and you'll get to see everything that we're getting presented. And if you have any questions, we'll report back to you pretty quickly.
Before we start, too, I just want to make clear that this is a conversation on what the school district is doing with Central School. This is not going to be a conversation on what happens with Central School after there is a decision made about Central School. So I just want to be really clear about that. We're really talking about the fate of what we're going to do in the next couple of years for our children. So what I'd like to start off by, is this up? All right, rotate. I don't know how to rotate this. It's up sideways. Back in May, when we passed our bond issue to build a new elementary school, it was always with the idea that if the bond issue passed, that we would close all four of our current elementary schools. So that meant Central School, Highland, Hilton, and Chippewa schools. Since that time, when we passed the bond issue back in May and we started school this year, there have been some significant issues that have affected particularly Central School. To the point of which we've had to look at roof replacements. We've had some flood damage there. We've had some tiles buckle in that building that have been in place for over 115 years. And in our efforts to repair those things, we have found that we were spending a significant amount of money. To date, we've already spent about $120,000 on that building to maintain it, to fix some of those things that have happened to the building. After the roof became problematic to us, we gathered our administrative team, our entire administrative team, to talk about option B, because the thought was, or the question became, if we're going to continually put money into a building that we know that we're going to be closing in 2.5 years, at what point does it not become cost effective to keep that building open and try to maintain it? So we brought our administrative team together to kind of brainstorm some possibilities of ideas. If we needed to decide to close that building early, what do we do for the next 2.5 years till we get to the point where our new elementary school would be ready to go? And I'm sorry, I don't know how to rotate this.
You can open it. It's in the right-hand corner of the...
Well, computers are not my thing, so thank you, Mark.
You're welcome.
So in talking with our administrative team, we came up with three possible scenarios and then analyzed each of those scenarios to look at what it would be cost-wise to do any one of those scenarios. We did look at some other options, but these were the three that we felt were ones that we could make happen, and we could make happen at the start of next school year. So scenario one, in conjunction with the city, the city of Brecksville has been very, very wanting to work with us and being very generous in what they are able to do for us. Scenario one became that we could close Central School. We could move the fifth grade to the Blossom Hill School, the building that is up on Blossom Hill. We would keep the fourth grade in the current K-3 buildings, which means that our current third graders right now, who would be fourth graders next year, would just stay in their current elementary schools. and that we would take the preschool and move it back to the middle school. In years past, the preschool was located at the middle school at one point. It was located in that back hallway off the back where it had its own separate entrance and had its own fenced-in playground area. To do that, we looked at what would it be to do all of those moves. So in other words, to move fifth grade to Blossom, to keep the fourth grade in their current scenario, and put preschool at the middle school. We came up with a transition plan, which I have on the back side of this, which I'm happy to share as well. A transition plan would cost the district to do this particular move $387,000, or a little over $387,000. We would have additional costs for traveling teachers in terms of mileage. We would have some rental fees at Blossom to move the fifth grade there, and that rental fee is based on the number of square feet we would need to accommodate our fifth grade there. And an approximate cost for utilities, there would not be any PI improvement or permanent improvements to that building, as the city had agreed that they would make sure that that building was in shape for us to put that fifth grade there if we chose to do that option. The cost to do that is about $500,000 to make that transition happen. We do see some savings from this, however, and some of the savings are down below. There would be a salary reduction, and this does not include benefits. That number is mainly generated from, we have two administrators right now at Central School. We have an administrator that has retired at the elementary school. One of those administrators would move into that elementary school that will not have an administrator at it next year. So that cost savings that you see in salary is a reflection of that administrative salary for that. There would not be some PI improvements if we went to this, and we would save about $100,000 of utility bills for not keeping Central School open. So you've got an approximate savings of $300,000, a difference being that it would cost our district about $150,000 to do this particular plan. The second scenario that we came up with is to, instead of moving the preschool to the middle school, to actually move the fifth grade to the middle school. We would, again, keep the fourth grade in the current elementary schools and look at moving preschool to the Blossom Hill site. This has a great possibility in that, if you know anything about Blossom, it currently houses a Montessori school, and they have preschool units there, and there could be some nice synergies with preschool and that Montessori school. This transition plan, again, to move these different groups of students to the different buildings would be about $98,000. Again, you're going to have the same mileage cost for your teachers. You're going to have less of a rental fee because we would be using less square footage at that Blossom Hills Center. We have four sections of preschool that we would move over there, so a significant less number of classrooms that we would need. Your utilities costs are going to be the same, so this scenario, too, is about $138,000. We do also see some savings, again, mostly in that administrator, because that wouldn't change. We still have two administrators at Central, so one would still go to that elementary school. We have some significant cost savings in transportation, in that both the fifth grade would align with the transportation that is currently at the middle school, and the fourth grade transportation, they would currently be in the transportation that's already going to the elementary school. So in a sense, you'd almost offline a level of busing in this scenario for about $170,000 of savings. Again, with not needing to put any PI improvements into Central, that cost savings stays the same. And again, you're going to save the same utilities by not keeping Central open, for a total savings of about $500,000 a year in this particular scenario. Back out the cost, it's about close to a $340,000 savings over the next couple of years. And the third scenario, based on, when we had some of the issues that we've had at Central School, we've had structural engineers out to that building, we've had an occupational physician out to that building, we've had environmental engineers to give an assessment of the building based on some of the water that had penetrated the building to make sure that ensure that building was safe and secure for our staff and our students. And we received all of those reports back, and every report came back to say, yes, the building is structurally safe. The environmental engineer came back and said there is, no abnormal mold growth in that building, and the occupational physician's report came back that the building is secure and clean as well. So the other option then is to not close Central School and to keep it open for the next 2.5 years. Clearly, if we do that, there are not any costs associated with a transition plan, because we would not be transitioning. Our mileage costs would stay the same for our teachers. We would have no rental fees at Blossom. We would have a, you know, we still pay approximately $102,000 in utilities to keep that building open. And this number is a guesstimate. This could be more. It could be less. We have that predictable unknown that we are in a building of that is over 100 years old. Things have happened this year that were not predictive. They were not planned for. We had to react to them. We anticipate that there's going to be more of those in the next couple of years. You're dealing with a very old facade on a building. So you have, you know, some approximate district cost to keep that building open for the next 2.5 years of about $188,000. Again, the salary reduction is in that administrative reduction between the person who's retiring and a new hire. You take the difference, and that's an approximate $28,000 of savings. So that would really be the only savings to keep the building open for the next 2.5 years. So a potential expense of the building would be another $132,000 that we are not currently spending that we would if we kept that building open. And so those are the three scenarios with analysis is done behind them and getting as close to approximate costs as we can. And I'm going to open it up to questions or discussion with the board at this point.
So you mentioned earlier that the city of Brecksville has been very gracious in working with us.
Yes.
With what we do at Central. So if we transition out of Central, then the city of Brecksville would then take over Central in terms of operating costs and any unforeseen things that happen in the coming 2 years?
The conversation that I've had with the city was when I asked them that exact question. If we vacated Central early, would you want to take it over early? And they said, tell us what you need us to do. If you need us to take over, we'll take over. So, you know, that is absolutely an option as well.
Yeah, frankly, if that's the case, why take that kind of risk going forward when we know we have a limited horizon where something bad could happen, but at least now we can plan for any, you know, we have a runway for the, you know, other cost situations that we can predict. Can't really predict Central. I can tell you if we have to move out of there, say, in another year, where right now we're caught where we only have a year and a half, insuring an empty building isn't a pleasant or inexpensive thing to do. I mean, as long as the city's willing to go ahead and start developing that building so that we're essentially out of that liability, I would say we go to the other two scenarios. It's just my view of this.
Well, scenario two, just from a cost-saving standpoint, just jumps out off the page. I mean, you've got $170,000 in savings from transportation. You have additional savings from salary. And when we move into the next part of the discussion, too, when we start talking about what we want to do with preschool, the money on scenario two that we would invest at Blossom to put the preschool there wouldn't be throwaway. Like, you know, right now the original plans were to have the preschool at our new building, which meant if you did scenario one and you put preschool back at the middle school, any money you put into the middle school would be throwaway after 2 years because you wouldn't have preschool there. If you went with scenario two, money that you put into Blossom Hill to put preschool there, there's an option to leave preschool there because it's on the same campus in the sense of the new middle of the new preschool or elementary building that we're putting in. So, yeah, Mike. I mean, I would say scenario two also, when you look at the cost savings with transportation and salary, as well as utilities and other things, and you then get rid of all of your risk with Central in terms of unexpected costs, it really jumps out as a very attractive scenario.
I can just guarantee you, Chris does not want to have to guarantee what it's going to cost to keep that building open for another couple of years. He's a year somewhere. Hi.
He's here.
He's there. You're welcome.
Well, you know, and we've heard from our parents and we've heard from our staff and the difficulty that, you know, that building has brought to the classroom, to the students, and it's gotten to the point that it seems like there's no other choice, at least, you know, in my mind. It's not at a dangerous level, but it's just not best for kids. It's not best for staff, and that's my opinion.
Mm-hmm. If we would move out, when would that be?
It would be effective the start of the next school year, so the start of 2019-20. So we would look to close Central School at the end of this school year. We've been in preliminary talks about, you know, before we do that, we know how special that building is to our community and how special it is to our residents. We will plan some type of public open house where we will conduct tours. There's a lot of memorabilia in that building. We want to get the Historical Society involved and really go through it and make sure that we preserve all of the historic elements of that building prior to its closure.
One concern that I have with scenario number two, which looks promising, but the increased routes and the increased kids on the buses.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like when we transition to the new building, we're going to, you know, it's going to be a three-tier schedule as opposed to what we have now.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering if it makes sense to maybe add to our, you know, I just think that's concerning, having three kids to a seat and they're little kids. So I'm wondering if maybe some of the cost savings with the transportation, maybe we can ameliorate some of that with adding to the bus fleet. I don't know. That's the one concern that I have with it, mm-hmm. is a lot of little kids scrunched for a long time on those big buses. It just seems, and with the savings, maybe we can make it up somehow.
Mm-hmm. So our current bus purchasing that we've been doing over the last couple of years, we have bought the larger buses, so the 84 passenger buses as opposed to the 60, and so we have more room in our buses. So even if we increased ridership, it doesn't necessarily mean that there would be three kids to a seat, because we are in the process of purchase. That's what been our purchasing in over the past years. We will continue to purchase the larger buses to accommodate, also because we're going to a three-tier busing at some point when we open that building, and we don't want to increase the routes, you know, much longer than they need to be. So, you know, the theory is if we can pick up more kids on a bus and not have to increase that route, we could. So we're looking to accommodate that, but if that's a wish of the board, we certainly can look at that transportation. And, you know, that savings might not be as much to off limit or to take off that one tier, but it could be that you know, we put more buses on the road during this transition time to, but that would cut into that savings for sure.
Yeah, if it seems like there's a pretty big increase in time the kids will be spending on the bus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, probably another 13 to 15 minutes on the routes.
Yeah, and I think it's all going to depend, right? I mean, if we end up with buses that have literally three kids per seat on the entire bus, then we're pushing to the very edge, and you know, in a scenario like that, you know, mm-hmm. we probably want to look. But I will say that back when we didn't have high school busing because of all of the Great Recession and the cost pressures on the district, when we brought back high school busing, it was after a transportation study was done that said, you need to get more efficient with your transportation, you can save more money, and the way you do that is you try to put more students on a bus. We had too many buses that didn't have a lot of students on them, and that makes the transportation costs go up. So there's a balance, right? You don't want to have too many students on a bus where you're sitting three per seat and the whole bus is full, but you also, you know, want to, from an efficiency standpoint, you want to try to put as many as you can on each route so that, you know, you're efficient with your transportation model.
One of the other things just to note, our current buses, even on our 65 passenger buses, we ride on average 33 kids on the bus. So they're half filled right now. They're not at capacity. So if you think about the routing at the elementary school, the same kids that are on those routes right now will be the same kids that will be on those routes next year. All you're adding are the incoming kindergartners. So depending on where those kindergartners fall, you might only be adding maybe 10 additional kids on that bus. So they're still not going to be at capacity next year, even in those scenarios that we sent you to look at.
Okay. If you think of it, the fourth graders are just going to be moving from Central to middle school. So it's still a one move. Drop to one area, in theory, same load,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then you've got the kids that were in third grade now just stay there one more year.
Right.
So they're already being transported. So like you say, it's just a matter of trying to figure out incrementally what would we have. They may not be, a lot of these routes may not be all that affected, I would think, particularly the individuals who stay, you know, the third graders who stay in their current buildings for fourth grade. I would think that would be minimally impacted.
They'll be the same route. They'll be the same bus routes that they're on now. We're just we have to plug in the kindergartners, which is an unknown at this point, you know, depending on where they live. But that's, they're going to be coming from the same, obviously, neighborhood. So, you know, it might be an increase of anywhere from, you know, 10 kids on another bus. But the kids that are on that bus right now will stay on that bus for next year.
So let's say it was a large increase. We find it. Chris, is there like an option for us to lease a bus for a year, or do you have to actually purchase them?
There's some flexibility built in.
Okay.
Scenario 2 is 170.
Okay.
We have spare buses that we would put on the road.
Okay.
The cost of the driver.
Yeah, I would probably say that, you know, Heidi and the transportation department would take a look at it, right, if we, whatever the board decides,
yes. Mm-hmm.
And come back with recommendation to us if they're feeling like, hey, listen, we don't have enough buses and, the route's going to be too long, there's going to be too many students on a bus. I mean, they're the experts,
sure.
And would be able to tell us what to do. You know, I will remind or maybe let everyone know that those that weren't back when we brought the busing back in, you know, one of the things we did from an efficiency standpoint is that we had individual buses being sent to our to Assumption, and you know that there was a centralization that was done to say let's bring them all to I can't remember which school, they bring them all to the one school and then from there take the one buses over. So there were some increased transportation times for some of the students, you know, at our parochial schools. But it was all within the boundaries of what's acceptable based on transportation norms. So we just have to make sure that, you know, we're staying within our norms and let the transportation department come back to the board if they feel like they're understaffed or don't have enough buses and make the recommendations.
Any other information that board members need? Yeah. Okay, so we need to move forward with the decision. We need to start this planning now, obviously, and that's why we're here today. Do board members feel comfortable making that decision?
I mean, scenario 2 to me is it's the most obvious choice.
Given the most room.
Does anybody disagree with that?
I agree.
No. Okay.
Okay, so scenario 2. We will formalize this in a resolution that will, it may not be ready at the next board meeting, but certainly for the January meeting, but this will at least give some direction for us to start moving forward, because this has direct implications on the next question that we're going to talk about. And if it is scenario 2, and we talked about moving preschool to Blossom Hill, there is a possibility to keep our preschool there permanently, so they would not move to the elementary school. One of the reasons that we're asking you to consider this, number one, is that in the current POR for the elementary building that is being designed, we are designing a preschool space that is just the same exact size as what we have right now in preschool. So there would be no room for expansion. Based on our growth over the last couple years in preschool, as we've been talking about this, we've said that, you know, our preschool continues to grow. We have more 3- and 4-year-olds that we're identifying that are coming to our preschool. So as it's drawn right now, keeping preschool at the elementary school, when we move into if we move preschool into that elementary school, it will be at capacity on move-in day. There would not be any additional space to add another section should we start identifying more kids. The option of keeping the preschool at Blossom allows us for expansion if the board would choose to expand, or if we have more kids that require school-based services, we would have the space to grow that program at Blossom Hill. Blossom Hill currently has 8 to 9 spaces over there. We would occupy currently with our current preschool 4, so there would be other rooms available should we need to increase that program. If that is a decision of the board to keep that preschool permanently at Blossom Hill, there would be some other additional improvements to the site. Right now, there is a service road that will run between the location of where the elementary school will be and connecting to the already developed Blossom Hill. If the preschools decide to stay at Blossom, that road will be improved to be another access point. So our preschool will still be on the same campus with our elementary school to allow us to do some cross-programming, having those visits easy with the preschool to come up to kindergarten for transition. We would be on the same campus and still able to do some of those things.
Tied into this facility too, right? In theory, moving
Well, it could be. It could be, in theory, yes.
So what's our arrangement with the city as far as Blossom is concerned? What kind of discussions have we had so far?
They, again, being very gracious and willing to accommodate, they told us, let us know what you need. And so they will make sure that that building is ready for us to move in. They will make, you know, the improvements needed, if there was any. We would just have rental costs and some share in keeping up the grounds, snow removal, and that kind of thing.
So there's, as that we're aware of, there's no environmental issues?
No environmental issues with that building that we're aware of, but certainly all of that would be vetted out and, you know, made sure. I mean, the Montessori school is already there, and they're using rooms on that side as well.
Is there any possibility of the Montessori school wanting more rooms? Or?
They would love to expand as well. I've met with the director of the Montessori school 2 weeks ago, and we had conversations about it possibly being our preschool, and really had a nice conversation about some synergies that could be between their preschool and our preschool. So very, very supportive of, you know, us possibly being there, and welcome the idea.
Well, and since we already chose scenario two, we've already made the commitment then that we're going to put some money into Blossom mm-hmm. to put preschool there. Mm-hmm. So that cost then, if we leave preschool there, that investment, you know, continues to pay dividends, as well as we have the flexibility to grow mm-hmm. should enrollment increase. It's kind of ready-made for growth.
Seems to make sense.
It does. I mean, it makes sense.
Do any board members disagree with the idea of moving the preschool to Blossom?
Only that, you know, we said preschool through five would be at the new place, at the new building. And now we're changing that. Okay. That's just the only concern I have.
We did say in all of the coffee talks that I went out and did when we talked about the bond issue, we did put that disclaimer out there to the public to let them know that, you know, based on, you know, currently our plan is to build a pre-K to 5 building. We absolutely said that. The bond was written that way. We did, however, in those conversations say we have to monitor the growth rate of our preschool. We had to add two sections last year. The minute we opened them, they were full to capacity. The preschool is growing, and it's not just in Brecksville, Broadview Heights. It's all over. Before we added those sections last year, if you recall, we had some kids that we needed to make sure that we were serving. We called over to North Royalton. We called to some neighboring districts. Nobody had space. And so they asked us, if we opened up new sections, would you take our kids? And we said, we can't, because we're going to fill them. And so this is it seems to be a growing trend, especially in this area, that preschools are becoming full. So the opportunity to really have ours expand if need be, could also be a cost center for us too. If there are other districts that are still in need of a center-based program for their kids, it's also an opportunity for us to grow there as well.
I think, you know, the other piece of it is that it's still part of the campus. So although it's not part of the new building, it would still be part of the campus. The other thing that it does is that, you know, the whole bond issue was structured with flexibility to say we're going to put up a new building for pre-K through fifth grade, and we're also going to use funds to put back into the middle school and the high school, because those still need some capital improvements. And we won't know, we're getting closer, but we won't know what the exact cost of the new building is going to be. Whatever that is, the net of that from the $44.5 million is what would get used for the other two buildings. So the more the cost of the new building can be kept in check, the more funds that would be available to put into the middle school and the high school to work off the checklist, which I know, Chris, is quite lengthy, the capital improvements that are needed at those buildings that have been deferred for many years. So, you know, having more capital available to put into those two buildings and check off more of those on the list will lengthen the lifetime of those buildings before having to put more money into them.
Is there any concerns with the environment again, if we beat that road up from a gravel road to a paved road?
Do you know the answer to that?
Sure. No, I think, you know, when we're talking about the site circulation and impacting wetlands on site, actually taking the preschool, which has a lot of parents stopping, dropping off the kids and coming back to the car, there's quite a bit more circulation than not. So by taking preschool and moving it to the Blossom Hill School, you actually got less of an environmental impact if you build it.
Your square footage of runoff is separated rather than being concentrated.
So if anybody doesn't have any disagreement, we're going to move that idea forward as well to the 17th. Is that correct? Is that a resolution as well or no? Preschool? No. It's just
doesn't.
Well, we need to authorize a lease.
Yeah.
You'd be authorizing a lease with the city and empowering the superintendent to negotiate that lease as long as it doesn't exceed approximately $21,000 per year because you'd have to have a real estate interest.
Okay.
That was based off of money prices that the city had provided already.
We could rope it into all the other real estate transactions we're doing with the city pretty easily.
Okay.
One comment that I do have, and I know that the Blossom Hill building is nowhere close to as old as Central is, but are we getting ourselves into any sort of jackpot situation with respect to, you know, are we pretty certain that Blossom Hill building is up to par and can, you know, house these preschool kids and it's a healthy environment? We're not going to have any of the same issues that we're having at Central right now.
To my knowledge, yes, the building can support what we need it to support.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I mean, again, they have a Montessori school already functioning in that space, so you know they're subject to the same requirements that you know we would be in terms of you know looking at inspectors and all of that coming in. So, you know, if the building was unsafe, I don't believe that they would be able to run the Montessori school there in that current facility. And they do; they use many of those common spaces that we're looking at.
I like the idea of a preschool village type environment where it would be nice for the kids and the staff.
Okay, so okay. Is that?
Yep, that's where we're at.
Okay, all right. Okay.
So next steps. So how are we going to communicate this out to the public? What's our next step for our board meeting so people can be heard if they have any concerns?
Sure. So there is an email going out to the 6,000 people that we send emails out to at approximately 7 o'clock this evening to talk about this meeting and what decisions were made. That's already queued up and ready to go. We're just, you know, send it out. We will definitely get a press release out as quickly as possible, and I will keep you posted on next steps in terms of working with David to get those lease agreements and some of the things that we need to get in place to make all of those two decisions happen.
Okay, so we will have to vote on the 17th on a resolution.
David, will we have it ready on the 17th? That's a week from today. Okay.
So the city's commitment to take that building, Nancy, to me, that's the one.
Central?
Yeah.
That's already, we already have a memorandum of understanding with the city that they're going to take over Central. So that's already in that MOU that we approved, or the board approved 3 or 4 months ago. I forget exactly when, I apologize.
The issue's just effective July 1.
Yeah, I don't think that's, they're comfortable that they're taking it over. And I would assume they'd rather do it sooner rather than later so they can get control.
I would imagine so too. Like I said, the only issue I would have is if we moved out of that building and then also had to insure it ourselves while it's
empty. Correct. No, we can. In fact, I have a draft of that real estate agreement that I was going to send over to their law director. I'll just accelerate the date for transferring Central.
Correct.
It works out in many ways better because one of the challenges we were facing was just the opposite of that. They were going to transfer to us the 25 acres and then on the promise that we will transfer them Central at some later date because we're still going to be in, we were planning on being in that building for a period of time.
Right.
So this actually makes it a lot easier for us to transfer that. We won't take possession of the 25 acres till we get through some of our wetlands issues that we're working through. We want to make sure there's one property owner, all that gets done under one property. We don't divide the property and split wetlands liability until after that gets resolved. But it will be fairly easy to do.
Great.
So I think certainly by June.
So how does the timing of that work if, you know, if we get to, and what are we talking, July 1st that we would, or we?
Whenever you're out of the building, I don't think that would be.
Well, let's just say whatever, somewhere in the summer when we're ready to transition Central, what if the acreage is not carved out and ready? So how does that
we
work?
We will know the acreage. The understanding based on the MOU is we're getting approximately 25 acres from the existing, I think we refer to it as parcel D, the parcel that we're talking about. The exact nature of that 25 acres has not been officially delineated, although we've been working with the city on the location of the elementary school, the driveways, all of that stuff's been, you know, they're part of it because of the field house discussion. We have to draw that line between the building, the field house, and then there's reciprocal easements for driveways and other things. That will be known, I can't imagine, later than March, at the absolute latest.
Okay, so that'll all be.
Yeah, we're probably well before March. It's just going to be more a challenge of getting together with all the people at the city and the school district to sit around and look at a diagram, a site plan, and say, where do we want the line to go? That's going to be hard to put together given the shortness of the. There's only 9 work days for many people left in the year, especially me, to fit that in, so it's probably going to kick to January.
So this is all a big win-win, though. I mean, you know,
we're
going to get, you know, we're able to transact this earlier. The city can get control of the building earlier to do whatever they want to do with it, and we'll get the acreage and can move forward with
your
next steps.
Several things will happen for you. One, the predictable surprises at Central will end. You've got 7 more months of exposure there, the balance of December and the next 6 months. Sometime in June, you're going to move your students, and at least predictable surprises end there. I don't know the exact terms of the lease at Blossom Hill site, but if we're paying rent and there's co-tenants, it's most likely that most of the facility risk is going to be with the city. So if the roof leaks or anything like that's happened, the city's getting rent. It's not a triple net lease as you might see in a kind of commercial context where we take all the risk of ownership. They're still going to retain that risk of ownership. There are many advantages to enhancing the existing access road between the two sites, or that runs, I think, to the water tower now. Extending that to the site of the new building, it'll help with emergency vehicles. It will reduce the impact on wetlands. There's a whole host of positives. It's hard to see the negative of it all.
Do we need a long-term lease then for Blossom? Is that
we how would does certainly that work? We would do a lease with options that, as long as you're comfortable that that's the permanent home. We would probably do a 5 to 10 year lease with renewable options, and with an option to expand should we need it into additional spaces. I don't think those things would be difficult to achieve.
So this is a big change for our community, and I want to make sure that we treat it with the sensitivity that it deserves. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we need to make sure that we work on communicating with our public like you have. Mm-hmm. Second thing is our staff. That's mm-hmm. huge.
Yes.
What we're doing.
Absolutely.
So you need to make yep. sure that that's done. The third thing is the community itself. This is
sure.
a gem to our community. And so we need to make sure that it's mm-hmm. treated like that. And so it's just not like, you know, July 1st, let's get out of here.
Absolutely.
We need to provide it the reverence that it deserves.
Yes. We needed some direction to be able to create some of those things.
Right.
So that's exactly, you know, why we're here tonight having this conversation. And we've already had some preliminary talks with our cabinet team of what does that communication plan look like now that we have direction. And so we are current, like I said, there's an email queued up ready to go out tonight. And then there will be additional things that we will start pulling in our staffs, pulling in to talk about the decisions that have been made this evening so that we really can get a plan and communicate around it.
And like I said, we're going to be voting on this on December 17th. So any concerns that anyone has, speaking of the public, email us, let us know your thoughts, and we'll make sure that you're heard.
What time will that take place?
It's the board meetings at 7.
Where?
Here. At December 17th.
Because I'm not on the email list, and I know a lot of people aren't. So how do I get on that email mm-hmm. list? Because there is a lot of sensitivity going on.
So how about this? Leave your email here okay. if you know you aren't. And anybody else, just
just email us, we'll make sure that they get it.
And in any of these issues, they're always going to be available through the website. So you can go on there and you can access actually the recording of this meeting, you know, or access the other documents that, you know, that we have available now on our board docs. So, you know, we're trying to make all these things as available as possible in as many different venues, so just be aware of that as well.
I think,
go ahead. I'm just going to say, while we're talking about this, you want to also talk about the potential of moving into that building then with our offices, because I think the utility savings on the property utilization seems to me to make a lot of sense.
Yeah, so that was question number three, because that's going to directly impact the drawings, and we're at a point now where we need to start finalizing what some of those drawings would look like at the new building. So if since the decision is made to keep the preschool at Blossom, we still have that square footage that we could utilize in that building to potentially put our board relocate our board office there. It is it's cost neutral in terms of it would not be any additional cost to do that. We had talked probably a few months back about how this building is just not conducive to having a board meeting where people can actually attend and doing some cross training with our staffs here. And so we had talked about relocating this building. Also, as part of our larger facilities master plan, this building is smack dab in a huge piece of land that we own. We have some other needs in terms of our athletic facilities, that this is a prime location to think about redeveloping and develop some additional practice fields and some other things that we need. With this building being right here, it makes it difficult to do that. So we had talked a few months back about, you know, closing this building. We did not finalize, though, where the board office would be located. With preschool staying at Blossom, again, we have that square footage. It would be cost neutral in terms of putting the board office there. Instead of creating that as a preschool space, it would be created as a board office space, say, in the same square footage with no additional footprints or impact on the environment. The other option is to take this building and relocate it into one of our current facilities, possibly at the middle school or at the high school, and renovate space. That would be an additional cost because we would have to renovate. The estimate that we got from our architect, it would be about $175 per square foot to renovate one of our current facilities. So the opportunity to move the board office at no additional cost outside of what we currently have right now would be then to put it into the new building, because it wouldn't be any additional cost. Any other place that we would look to relocate it, be it at Hilton, the middle school, or the high school, would be additional $175 per square foot. We need, this building is 10,000, so we're not looking to increase the amount of space, just kind of configure the current space we have.
It's got to be better utility utilization, everything else, to put into a new building compared to what it takes to heat and clean up the roof leaks in this building and everything else. So,
which we've had the last couple of years.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, we know this building is not that great a shape, so it's got to be expensive.
So this building's used. This building is used for a lot of things for our district, and I've sat in here in packed houses, and it's not conducive to meetings and public discussions. And I, you know, I'm hopeful that we could create something like that for our PSO, our foundation, kindergarten registration. It's a place that people first see. I mean, we could really, and they'd be able to, when they join our community, see the school, it'd be attached to it, so it'd be wonderful. I myself am in favor of just having been in this district so long and used this building and seen its limitations. I'd be in favor of moving it up to the new facility with some more state-of-the-art ways of communicating to our public and for our, you know, our committees that work for us.
Plus, I think the drainage is better on this piece of land.
The drainage is better, that's for sure.
But just to be clear, when you say it's cost neutral, I mean, it's not cost neutral. I mean, if we don't move the board offices to the new building, Chris, I'm assuming the footprint would shrink because we've now moved the preschool into the Blossom Hill.
Yep.
So there is cost to move the board offices into the new building. There's cost savings by keeping the board offices here. the cost for the new building comes down, which then hopefully allows us to do more with that building and more in the other two schools.
So are you suggesting reducing the size of the building up there? I mean, we have the square footage already planned. Would that be something?
Well, the board earlier this evening made the decision to put preschool permanently at Blossom Hill.
Yes.
So that means that the square footage in the new building for that was going to be designated for preschool is no longer needed. So the footprint would shrink, correct?
Sure.
What we're saying is that if you leave the footprint the same, you could put the board offices where the preschool would go.
Correct.
And the footprint would stay the same.
Right.
But that's not cost neutral, because if you leave the board offices here, the footprint would shrink, and that cost savings would then free up additional money to either deal with unexpected costs in the new building and or more funds available to put back into the middle school and the high school.
From a master planning standpoint, though, where this building is located and some of the things that we heard our public say about our tennis courts, removing this building that has the best place for the drainage possibly, I mean, would be a good move. So I understand what you're saying, that it's not cost neutral, but from a future planning standpoint, removing this seems to be
I understand,
a forward-thinking decision.
I do. I mean, I understand that, and I understand the efficiencies of putting it into the new building right from the get-go. The problem is that, you know, this, you know, doing something with this building, you know, was not on the list when we went to the voters for the money. What was on the list was preschool to fifth grade and offline the elementaries. We didn't have anything in there that said, oh, we may also offline the board office and put it into the new building. I mean, it was fine to look at that to see, is that something that could be done within the cost structure? And does it make sense? So I had no problem in exploring that as an option. But now we have the options in front of us. And, you know, what's in front of us is that, you know, by moving preschool to Blossom, which already some people may have some difficulty with, which back to the communication plan, we have to be really clear with the public on what we're doing and why we're doing it. Because we did go out saying it's pre-K through 5, and now it's going to come out and say, well, except pre-K is not going to be there. Well, there's really good reasons of why we chose to put it there. But now if we say the pre-K is going to move into another building and we're going to put brand new board offices onto the new building, you know, now we're really changing what we originally went out to the voters for. So I'm not comfortable with that. And I think that the cost savings that come from relocating the preschool into the Blossom and keeping it on the same campus, that money is really going to go a long way in what we're able to do with that building and with the other buildings. And that, to me, is easily defended to the public.
Chris, how soon does that decision have to be made about the footprint?
7 o'clock. I mean, we're a train headed down the path, so I imagine we could probably wait to the December board meeting, but we were hoping for a decision tonight.
Is there more information that the board would need, more time to wait to an advantage for that?
I have a question for David, because I agree with a lot of what Mark is saying, but that being said, we had all sorts of issues over the last few months about the horrible state of our tennis courts, and we all went and looked, and there was nothing to do about them, and I realize it's not anything that we can do, you know, in 2019, but we were told at the last board meeting that this would be a perfect spot for the tennis court. So, like, I understand what you're saying, but I would be okay with moving the board offices because it would solve that particular problem, which we know is, you know, we heard it's bad. But from a legal standpoint, do you see any problems with changing, you know, what the bond issue is being spent on?
You have to spend the money for the purpose for which it was approved.
Right.
So you start out with that premise. The question is there a substantial difference between a kindergarten classroom and a pre-K classroom? And the answer is they're the same. So as long as you're building kindergarten classrooms, you're essentially building pre-kindergarten classrooms because they're basically the same design. So as long as you have that capability, you've met the bond language. Now, could you take the bond proceeds and demolish this building? I would have to look closer at the bond language, because I assume you had demo and abate language in there of school buildings to address. It probably is within that language, but I haven't looked at that language specifically. And I don't know if you're looking to use bond proceeds to demolish this building and rebuild the tennis courts on it. I would have a question that I would want to verify that you could demolish this building with bond proceeds.
Oh, and I don't even know. It doesn't sound like we have enough money to even do that now.
That's a separate question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just a future.
Well,
it literally is a separate question.
Yeah. The one is, could we if we wanted to, and then can we fiscally? Two different things. One is, is it an option? And the other, because it might not be an option. I don't pretend to know exactly what that language said, how specific it was. A lot of times, bond council drafts the constructing, furnishing, equipping, and otherwise improving school district facilities, which means you can do anything. But if it said pre-K through 5 and called out very specific improvements, then we have to do those improvements as described.
And moving a board office over there would fall within that?
Yeah, that'd be administrative spaces within an elementary school. You would always have that. There's no hard and fast rules as to how much square footage you have to devote. You know, for example, we're not building a gym at the new elementary school because we're using the city's field house. Well, do the voters expect us to build our own gym? You know, most elementary schools would have that. I don't think there's any problem in not building a school district gym because we have access to something right next door.
Well, I think that was pretty much represented in the bond issue.
Yeah, the campaign is, again, we're talking about nerdy lawyer stuff with whether the exact words in the bond language. My only point is an elementary school would normally include a gym. We're not building one, so we don't.
Right. I mean, my recollection, too, was that we crafted the language to try to be as broad and flexible as possible to account for whatever scenarios might come up. But Ellen, to your earlier point about this being a good location for tennis courts, while that may be true, when you look at, you know, the analysis that was done, and Chris, keep me honest here, my recollection was what came back was that we keep the tennis courts in that same location and replace each of them. There's 5 of them up there for $90,000 a piece, which means $450,000 to redo all the tennis courts there. And I believe you said, or the numbers came in, if we were to go to a fresh site, and that is not here because this building would have to be demolished, it's like $750,000 to build those tennis courts on a fresh site, right? So now you're talking about $450,000 to replace them, repair them up there properly, $750,000 to build them new, and if you want to do it here, now you got to take down this building, which is additional cost, none of which we have the funding for. Now the $450,000 we got to figure out, right, that we got to do something with the tennis courts. If we leave them there, you know, that would be an option, and we never circled back to the tennis court conversation. But it seems to me that still is a viable option because economically it's a lot less. $450,000 is a lot less than $750,000.
Okay, although wasn't there a lot of information about how that's just a really bad spot and it's going to continue to have problems and it's going to continue to buckle?
Again, my and Chris, you keep me honest if I'm wrong, but my recollection with the feedback that came back was that the new standards for tennis courts would have to put the drainage in, and that by doing $90,000 a court, they would come with the drainage that would take care of the water runoff that would come on there, and that they should be okay. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's, I mean, if you were going to pick a new spot to put your tennis courts in right now, you wouldn't pick that spot. But that $90 or $90,000 a tennis court would include all the improvements that we can do to take the water away. It's not perfect.
So we can still be looking at annual maintenance.
Well, hopefully not. Hopefully these improvements are good enough to get you through. I just don't want to portray it as, hey, this drainage is going to fix everything that Mother Nature intended.
Well,
here's the bottom line. I mean, one thing we can never get back is the trust of the public. And so we need to check the language out. We need to make sure we cannot go changing midstream. So this is going to have to wait till the 17th. Check our language out and even see if this is something that we want to have a discussion on. And that will give us time to maybe process that, because we've just made two large decisions. And I know personally I'd like some more time. Plus, I would like to know what you have to say about that. Is everybody agreeable to that?
Yeah.
Pushing this off to the 17th?
I'd like to do that, yes.
Do you want to take a straw poll prior to that, just so we have an idea where everybody's leaning, so we have that idea or not?
I think that's illegal, but yeah.
No, no, we're not voting on anything. We're discussing it publicly. There's nothing.
Is everybody okay with that, pushing it to the 17th, and then we'll have a discussion on the 17th?
Yes.
At that meeting.
I mean, I'm fine with pushing it, but I mean, my position I already verbalized, and it whatever information we get isn't going to change. I'm not in favor of building new board office,
okay,
new administrative offices at the new building.
So Fred, do you have a decision?
I'm willing to push it off to the 17th.
Because you are not.
I'm not
strong in what's your decision, Mike?
I would build them there.
And we're just talking about number 3, right?
Correct.
I'm okay pushing that particular decision off to the 17th.
Okay. So we're going to push it off to the 17th, have legal counsel look into that, and we'll revisit this on the 17th then, this discussion.
But please know, we're going to need you to
make a
decision
on the
17th, because we run into the potential of holding up drawings, which could hold up the project, and we certainly don't want to put us behind in that decision. Okay. Just so we're clear on that.
We good? All right, so moving forward, item 3, we have the announcement of our next meeting, which will be on December 17th, 2018, 7 o'clock. We have a work session at 6 p.m., so we hope to see you there. If you don't have your email, make sure we have your email.
Can I, one suggestion, given how much interest there is in this room's full, I'm going to guess that the 17th we may even have a larger audience. We may want to consider a different venue.
Okay.
Like the auditorium. Yeah.
Right.
Thank you.
Or
yeah, they're
wherever.
Set up for they might do media center or something.
Center.
Yeah.
All right.
Sorry.
I move we adjourn.
Item 4. May I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Roll call.
Okay. Mr. Dosen.
Yes.
Ms. Kramer.
Yeah.
Mr. Peterson.
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler.
Yes.
Mrs. Mack.
Yes.
Thank you.